The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Welcome back. We are here for the final hour, and it's really great to welcome back to our show Horace King. He was with us a couple of years ago with some of his teammates who helped break the color barrier at the University of Georgia just a mere 52 years ago. Horace is chairman of the Bulldog Original Five. He was the first black to score a touchdown. And so much has happened since we last visited, Horace. A couple of national championships, also the loss of your coach. We appreciate you being here. Thanks so much, and good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, and thank you for having me. And
Well, thank you.
You basically got it. You got it started with everything. The man that got it all started for me and the other four guys that actually attended University of Georgia in 1971, and that was Vince Dooley. He's no longer with us, and I have to take my hat off to him and say I appreciate him giving me that opportunity, and I tried to use the best I could.
I want to talk about what you are doing now, but I would like to go back to that moment in time with Coach Dooley, who grew up in Mobile, Alabama. It's hard to get any farther south than that during that time. What was that experience like with your friends breaking that color barrier, and what was the difficulty of it?
The start of breaking the color barrier really happened my senior year in high school when they integrated Clark Central, Bernie Harris High School, and Athens High School, and formed Clark Central, which is about five blocks up the street from Sanford Stadium. And that experience at Clark Central High School kind of put a little bit of edge on my shoulder. And I really, until the University of Georgia recruited me, I thought I would end up at North Carolina A&T, one of the small minority black HBCU schools. And after I was being recruited by Coach Dooley, and my mother heard about it, the decision was made, and I just had to respond.
It was interesting because we talked to Charlene Hunter-Galt a couple of months ago about, you know, her breaking the barrier as a student. And you know, in football, it's a little bit different. It's a team sport. How much did you lean on your other compatriots as you were going, or was it really no longer a color issue once you became part of the Georgia football team?
The good part of what Coach Dooley did there in bringing five of us there was that we had a community, a small one at that, but we could support each other. It wasn't like we walked around in each other's hip pocket on a regular basis. But to have Larry and Chuck and Richard and Clarence there with me really made all the difference. I didn't feel alone. So that was roommates that was there. And there were other, you know, Caucasian players that had already played at mixed schools. So the transition was a little bit easier. And I guess what made it really a little bit more easier that at the time when I went to college, you could not play on the varsity team until your sophomore year. So I played freshman ball, and that was really a wonderful experience with the coaches that really got me ready to move up to that varsity football team.
Horace, as you matriculated into this program, especially on the varsity level, and began traveling around, you know, some of the places were integrated. Not all, I don't believe. It was a time when things were changing, but not completely. What were those experiences like to go to other places in the SEC?
Most of the experience was pretty good. The only time that I ever really had a concern was at Georgia. At the time, we had an elderly black man named Swab Jones that was not really on the staff, but was always at practice. And everybody knew of Swab in the black neighborhood, who was probably one of the ones that kind of fingered me as a football player to go there for Vince. We flew into, I think it was Jackson, Mississippi. We played Mississippi State. And at the front of the bus there, I saw a sign that said, "No shooting on highway." So I kind of leaned over and whispered in Squab ear, "What would they be shooting at on the highway?" you know, at this time, different situations was happening in certain neighborhoods and communities, and I was concerned of whether I was in a safe place at the time, but his response was not moving me in any one direction, so I just settled in and performed the task that I came down to do, to play a football game for the University of Georgia.
Horace, I realize, you know, when we talked to you the last time, a lot has happened since then, but what, you know, what has it been like? I mean, other than obviously losing Coach Dooley, but to watch this program that you were such an integral part of to suddenly become at the epicenter of college football right now with the two national championships.
That's an outstanding program that Kirby Smart got running over there, he and along with the president of the university and the athletic director. What has really happened is the five of us was recognized sometime in September of 2021. And so we, Larry is in one state, I'm in Georgia, Chuck is here in Georgia, Richard is in California, and Clarence is here. We started making phone calls to each other and decided that we wanted to start a 501c3 to try to give back to the community and also to help some of the current players as they exit the University of Georgia and start to matriculate out into life. Everybody is not going to play professional football. Most of them will never even get a chance to visit a team. So to do that, we started something we call the Bulldog Five, which is a nonprofit that is aimed to enhance the lives of young people in the state of Georgia and introduce them to the fundamentals for success for today and tomorrow, even if they don't actually spend a whole time playing college football.
You've seen it all. You were part of history. As you watch your nonprofit expand and just from a unique view, what do you think about these last 50 some odd years and where we were and where we are right now?
Well, I see some growth from 50 years ago. Have some concerns about some of the issues that are politically in front of us and socially in front of us, especially the young people that getting injured or harmed with gun shooting, not only themselves, but police doing the same thing. So that piece kind of, you know, concerns me that we need to be just like a football team in this United States to get together and let's discuss, talk about, and work these issues out so that we don't have to do them all the time with some traumatic something or confrontation or a fight.
Amazing story. Horace, thank you for joining us again. We look forward to keeping up with you and your colleagues and applaud you for what you're doing here with the Bulldogs Original Five. Many, many thanks and great to see you again as we head to the break. Busy afternoon on the program with so much breaking news from Tuscaloosa, from Columbia, South Carolina. We'll update on all that and your phone calls when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Welcome back. Let's continue with Justin in Alabama. You're on the air. Hello, Justin.
Hello, Paul. How's it going?
We're doing good. Thank you very much.
Yes, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Brandon Miller story.
Okay,
surprise,
sure.
Surprise. With his attorney's statement that was released today, it states in there that he never left the vehicle. It also states on TuscaloosaNews.com that Detective Culpepper says that Darius Miles gave the gun to Davis in the back seat
right.
of the said car. And I think it's also important to highlight the fact that the text message doesn't just say, I need my joint. It says, I need my joint, a explicit, really just got faking. So I think it really puts into question whether or not anyone knew the situation had
Yeah, I want to go back and correct. I think I was wrong earlier. The original, you're right. The original text was to Miller to bring the joint.
Yes. But the text message, the confusion was the text message about the gun being in the back seat and one being in the head.
Right.
That's actually being reported as Darius Miles to Davis, not Brandon Miller.
Yeah, it says when this is according to the testimony. When Miller got to the scene, Miles told Davis, the head is in the hat. That's according to Detective Culpepper. I do want to point out, we're trying to look at this from all sides, but even though we are quoting verbatim what the detective said, remember the detective's not saying very much. He's giving you a limited version of the story. In relation to Brandon Miller's attorney, of course he is going to paint the story as favorably to his side, and then you heard Byrne today adhere to that as well. I mean, you can find discrepancies in anyone's story at any time. And I say this, and I'll be quiet. There are two sides to this case. There are more than two sides. I mean, there's the prosecution, there's the defense, and then there's Miller, who is party to this, but not a primary party.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the other point was, it says that Davis comes out from behind the Jeep,
right,
which would suggest to me that they actually got out of the vehicle. And I'm just trying to, like,
remember one thing,
on
though.
Point
okay,
where,
this is on a street corner outside a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed, there are reams of videos of all this. Now, whether those videos can support every argument, they probably do a pretty good job, though, and a lot better job than what we currently have in terms of the police know a lot more than anyone else right now.
I agree, and I don't think that I'm not trying to paint Brandon Miller as someone who should be charged in this, but I think that his role was good enough that the university would stand better to put some discipline forward, whether it be one game, because no one's going to be satisfied with a number of games.
Let me throw this up in the air. When they first discovered this, what if Nate Oates had said, listen, there's a lot of unknown By the way, we didn't even know at the time Brandon Miller was involved, and I remember that he by acknowledging that Brandon Miller was involved in the other teammate, he was going to bring a light on a story that was not being discussed outside of Tuscaloosa. So I don't know what went into that conversation, but I would like to know what went into that conversation.
Yes, me too. And I think Nate Oates had the quote right, wrong place, wrong time. I just don't think it was Brandon Miller. I think it was Jermaine Harris. Thank you for the call.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. We're all trying to be pseudo-attorneys here about a case that we really don't have. I'm not sure what percentage of the facts we have at this point in time. Thank you very much for the call. Joe is up next. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're okay, thank you.
Good. I just got a couple of things to say, if you don't mind. First off is I moved down here from Michigan, and I started listening to you about 20-some years ago. And I got to admit, you kind of got on my nerves a little bit, but I'm a Michigan guy, Wolverine, and some of it was warranted. Some I didn't think, and I honestly could not stand you. But okay. I will say, after watching you through these years, I've learned to respect you. I think you're a great reporter. You allow people to say what they feel, right or wrong, when you need to step in to lay down the law, you do. And I just want to say that I respect you. I respect what you do. I respect your program. I listen to you every day. And I just want to get that off my chest.
Thank you for saying that. And I will say this about myself, which sounds silly, but the Michigan thing started as a gag, and it just got out of hand. And I'm the first one to admit that. It's more showbiz than it is reality, but it's okay.
Oh, I understand. You know, hey, there was many, many times I wish I could have just reached through that radio and just slapped you, but
wish you had.
But I will say I've learned to. You're a great reporter. Love the show. I respect you. You do a hell of a job.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
I do want to ask one question. Okay, so when and I'm getting bits and pieces of this whole story. So I'm assuming everyone was downtown somewhere. I'm not familiar with Tuscaloosa, yeah. But you know, I'm assuming everyone was down near the clubs, correct?
Yeah, there's a, like in any college town, there's a square, there's a strip where
gotcha.
All the nightclubs are.
Okay, so now I heard this on one of the talks earlier in the day. I got a question for you, Paul. If you and I were buddies and I said, hey, Paul, can you mind grab my fishing pole? What would you think that I would want that pole for?
To go fishing.
Fishing. Right. Okay. If I said, hey, Paul, why don't you bring my golf clubs? You're assuming we're going to go play golf. Now, if I say, hey, Paul, why don't you bring back my gun? Don't you think that resonates?
Sure.
And, you know, and I know he's a young kid, 19 years old. And I hate it because the kid, I mean, he, you know, 6 months away from being a multimillionaire, I don't know how that's going to affect everything. But don't you think, you know, especially at that time of what was going on, it'd be like, hey,
you could even say at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe he just lost it, forgot it. At 1:30 at night, everyone knows what was going on. This is pretty obvious it's very difficult to assume or to make a case that he's an accessory to murder. But I don't think it's too difficult to
correct.
Acknowledge that,
right.
that he had a strong idea of what was happening here. And that's really the issue. You have narrowed it down. All this legal law and order stuff is not really the issue. The issue I think a lot of people are asking is, you know, what did the university know? What did they do? And it's obvious they didn't do anything. And the question remains, why didn't they do anything?
Right. And I got one. I'm going to end it on this. You've got a lot of callers that try to be this guy I'm fixing to mention. They all want to be this guy, but I'm going to tell you something. I've listened from, you know, Tammy before she passed away. I-Man, I've heard Score, all these guys. There's nobody on, and I'm nobody, I get that, but there's nobody on your show that can do what they do than Legend. legend is, and everyone says he's self-proclaimed. Well, I'll be the first to say, legend, you are the legendary caller of the Paul Finebaum Show. Love you, Paul.
See you. Thank you, Joe. Really good to hear from you. I'm glad you didn't kill me or throw something through the radio. Frank is in Georgia. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Frank, we're doing great.
I just wanted to comment on the Brandon Miller situation in Alabama. I know everybody's kind of beating it to the ground, but it's hot right now. But my take is this, that everybody's trying to nitpick the facts on what Alabama knew, what the coach knew, what the players did or didn't do. And we're kind of forgetting that the Beard in Texas, I don't even know if he got to the jail before he got fired. And
he was out pretty quickly.
Yeah. And, in Texas takes a lot of crap for not doing the right thing. And they stood up and said, not here. And this was the number one team in the country at the time.
Ask you a question here, Frank. I wonder how much I just checked the date on this. Nate Oates' contract was extended on February 3rd. That would have been two weeks after this incident occurred.
Right.
I bring that up because the university was all in on him. I'm not to say they weren't all in on Beard. They were. He was one of the hottest coaches in the country. I can't explain. But let's also remember he was fired because his fiance filed a police complaint alleging domestic abuse. No one has leveled anything against Nate Oates other than he came off as a doofus yesterday.
That was a little more in tone deaf. That was pretty bad.
I totally agree. And Byrne even slapped him on the wrist today after making sure he got his contract extension. But there's a difference. Beard. I'm not trying to distinguish the two cases. They're completely different. But Beard, some will argue that Beard shouldn't have been fired. That was a rush to judgment. But by the way, I happen to agree with Texas. That is inexcusable behavior for your head basketball coach. And the fact that the woman withdrew the allegation means nothing.
Well, but we're talking about an assault, and then in Alabama's case, this is a murder.
But the difference is no one's accusing Nate Oates of anything. Is my point, other than maybe disregarding what was directly in front of him. But I thanks for the call. I hate to break up. We have to go. But ultimately, Nate Oates has a boss, and his boss has a boss. And I think once this thing became as serious as it did, it went beyond Nate Oates. Nate Oates is in consultation with university council, with his athletic director. There's no way the president of the university wasn't involved. I mean, this is a murder that happened around the corner from the University of Alabama, and it involved a player on the basketball team. We act like that guy wasn't on the team. That guy was on the team. At the moment that he was arrested, and there were two other. Let's try to keep whatever the facts are. We do have a few facts, and those are among them. Let's take a break before we get even more confused than we already are. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We just heard from Dan Wetzel during the break. Alabama has now released a statement on this situation. This is on the Brandon Miller situation. UA Athletics continues to cooperate fully with law enforcement in the ongoing investigation of this tragic situation. Based on all the information we have received, Brandon Miller is not considered a suspect in this case, only a cooperative witness. Today's statement from Brandon's lawyer adds additional context that the university has considered as part of its review of the facts. Based on all of the facts we have gathered, Brandon remains an active member of our team. In other words, he will be in the lineup in 2.5 hours in Columbia, South Carolina. Let's get back to the calls. And Kay is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Kay.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. I thought yesterday's so-called rumor about the Miller was that he brought the gun to the scene, but he left it in his put it in the back seat of his car. But his lawyers say he never touched the gun. Well, how did the gun get from wherever he was into the car if he never touched the gun? However, I will say he did the right thing. I'm sure he doesn't have a concealed carry, and when you don't have that, you're supposed to leave the gun open, you know, where someone can see it and not hide the gun.
Kay, let me give you what I don't have the facts to answer your question. I'll give you what I think is going on here.
Yes.
And I'll try to cobble everybody's statement together. Miller was the driver, and I think these other two guys were in the car, they'd all gone to the club together. Miller, according to the story,
didn't bring the gun to the car.
But the car. So why was the gun in the back of the car? First of all, you can't take a gun into a nightclub.
Correct.
So
I used to manage a gun range, so I know the rules in Arkansas.
That. And according to Greg Byrne, the athletic director, Miller was already driving back to the club when Darius Miles.
I know. What my question is how did the gun get into the car?
I'm just quoting what people said. I have no idea whether any of it's true.
All right. So nobody knows how the gun got in the car.
Well, I think the supposition is that the gun got in the car because Miles had the gun with him. He was the owner of the gun.
I know.
He had been in the car earlier.
Miller got a text saying, bring me the gun or the joint, whatever.
Yeah. Wish somebody bring me a joint right now.
Boy, really, isn't that the truth?
I could use one.
Well, I'm okay.
I'll sitting here drinking a beer,
smoking
live on the air just to get through the rest of this show.
Else.
guys, you're welcome to come out. I'm sorry, Kay, I didn't mean to make a terrible situation into light, but I did. So.
No, that's okay. I'm open about it. Anyway, I just thought I misunderstood. I thought yesterday's rumor was he brought the gun there.
Yeah, well,
and that's why.
Again,
and so if he brought the gun here, then he did have his hands on the guns and his lawyers are saying he didn't touch the gun.
Yeah, I mean, Kay, what we don't know, we don't. No one has yet said that he touched the gun. All we know is.
Well, he brought the gun. Yeah, How did he bring it with his feet?
You go to what Greg Burns said. It looked like he was just dry. He was on his way back there anyway, and the gun was sitting in the back seat of the car. I guess I don't know. I mean, I don't.
Well, he did that right, because when you don't have a concealed carry, you cannot hide the gun. You've got to have it open.
Well, that's in Arkansas. There's no telling what the Alabama law is.
I know. I did hear yesterday someone said y'all had open carry.
I think they do. I think Alabama does have open carry.
That's crazy. You're in Walmart and you see a guy with a gun. What do you say? Is he a good guy, a bad guy, or a security guy? I'd rather be in Walmart and have a guy that concealed so that some kook that comes in, he can help.
Now by the way, Kay, I don't live in Alabama. I'm just guessing on what the law is there. But I know that it's a pretty...
Well, someone did say that yesterday.
It's a pretty liberal, would not be the word I would use, but it's a pretty... It's a pretty open. Hey, thanks for the call. Let me ask a guy who probably does know. He was a former policeman in the state. Larry, do you know the gun law in Alabama?
Yeah, I know it. Don't carry, hide it. No, it's open carry. I know. I didn't know that the other day. Which I went and got a pistol and got my permit. Well, I went to get a permit. And they said you didn't need one because I can't duke it out with nobody. If somebody jumps on me, I have to cap them. You know.
Okay.
Because I can't buy them. So. But anyways, I was going to say,
hey, Larry, when I'm back in Alabama, remind me never to give you a hard time, okay?
Yeah, man, don't jump on me. Hey, can you do me a favor? Put a gag order on this thing.
Larry, I feel like by tomorrow there will be another crisis that we'll be talking about.
I know, man. People are asking the same questions over and over and over. Man, I don't get back. I know I'm really, that's tragedy. But the way the hill is getting to try to go on, you know, and try to remember the young lady and God bless her and all the family, but go on and heal, you know. But these people asking these questions are so stupid. The same damn questions over and over and over. Put a gag order on them and say, hey, no more, you know, no more. That's why.
Hey, Larry, what if I said on this show, I realize we're getting giddy here toward the end, no more stupid questions.
Well, I couldn't call me and Joe. And...
at least I paid off that question. That was the answer I was looking for, Larry.
Yeah, I know. And you was right.
I feel better. I thought I had lost touch with the show after this week, but I feel like I still have some semblance of knowledge. Larry, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. We still have a few minutes remaining. If you would like to get in.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and... the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.